the harlot has been taken off the throne and she has been cast down. Now we move into the final stages of God's taking over of the world. The great beasts and all are now being taken to where they belong. And here in chapter 19, we start to see the final stage of what becomes the final victory of God. So now we enter chapter 19, and this is, of course, is the last chapter for the week, and then this is the last full week of our course. So I hope you've enjoyed it so far. This is, you know, it was kind of put together rather quickly because of the nature of the coronavirus, and as I said, people start to ask me, are we experiencing the end times? And I said, well, because people are asking me the question, why don't I talk to them about the book of Revelation? So that was the origin of all this. So like I said, we've just finished the last week, full week. We still have a few classes next week. We have actually 20, 21, and 22, so we have three. But in that, we have the three classes next week, but this is the last full week, as I said. So as we continue, we begin with seeing the great victory. So what we see is the harlot who represents Rome. Now, today it can represent also not so much a specific nation, but an attitude that is undermining the faithfulness and the faithful. And you're going to find that throughout history. You're just going to find this attitude. And so anyway, whatever the case may be, the harlot has been cast down. And now we see this interesting line that smoke will rise from her forever. Forever there will be the sign that Rome was destroyed, that God brought Rome down. Now, of course, we know in history that didn't exactly happen. Rome was destroyed, but in fact, what happens is not so much that we can look at that place, as it seems to indicate, where there's always smoke that's coming out and has been coming out since the 5th century. No, but we do understand how much Rome has an impact in our lives, and we can understand how much attitudes that led to the Roman destruction can destroy any society. So anyway, we do see that whole thing that this destruction has happened. But what did end up being destroyed and always remembered was the paganism of Rome and the lack of a direction that's rooted in truth. And we know that famous line from the Bible when Jesus saying, I'm here for the truth, and Pilate says, truth, what is truth? So there was never any truth, any North Star that you could see that this is the way we should go as humanity. They didn't have that. And instead, what you had was the truth as defined by the emperor. When I was in the Navy, there were two kinds of navigation. And the line I like to use is, and this is true, is there were true bearings and there were relative bearings. And true bearings were all the bearings of the compass that were based on true north. Relative bearings were all the bearings of a compass that were based on the bow of the ship. And what I like to say is with true bearings, you could navigate the world. With relative bearings, you could get lost in a bathtub because they were only based on the ship. Well, in a sense, what's coming to an end here is the prime use of a moral and a wisdom-based relative bearings, because that's human wisdom without God is relative bearings. This is the way we think we should go, and there's no direction there. And this is what's being brought down. This is what's being destroyed, and all those who are trying to destroy the faithful are trying to destroy the faithful working on relative bearings, because they're turning around saying, this is what we need to do. Well, actually, no. And then we go on further. We see again that the 24 elders, we see the living creatures, all those who were worshiping God before, continue worshiping God, and they're celebrating with their words of amen, alleluia. And the reason is because the whole end has come of those forces seeking to destroy the holy, seeking to destroy humanity, seeking to lead them astray. Although we still have more to go, but this is where it is. This is the end of the harlot of Babylon. Now notice the contrast, because in chapter 18, all the merchants and all the kings and everything else were mourning, and here in heaven you have the exact opposite. You have this excitement, this celebration, because they're realizing that the kings and the merchants and everything else are working again on relative bearings, what appears to them to be good and what benefits them personally, but what God is destroying is those things that destroy humanity, appear to be good, but destroy humanity in the long run. And that's what's finally being brought down. And notice, too, that the only one who can destroy this is God. We don't have the ability, the vision, or the power to be able to do this. And then again, we continue with the write this down. There's an interesting line here that comes up, because John then worships this powerful angel who is celebrating this and write this down. He says, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. And Harrington explains that that means that, in fact, this wedding feast of the Lamb is the kingdom of God. So blessed are those who are invited to the kingdom of God, who are freed from this influence of the harlot of Babylon. And John worships him, and he says, no, don't worship me. I'm nothing but a fellow servant of yours. Well, if we go back to, now Harrington doesn't say this, to the Acts of the Apostles, we see exactly that when the Greeks worship Paul, because they see a miracle he does, Paul and I believe it's Barnabas, but they worship Paul, and he says, no, I am a human like you. So even though Harrington doesn't say any connection between those two verses, which I think there is, there's also the reality that Harrington says at the time there was angel worship. And that's something that's happened in the past, where people worship angels as gods. Kind of like the Protestants accuse us of worshiping saints as if they are gods, which we don't. We all know that. But that's what not the Protestants, but, you know, some Protestants, some evangelicals, which we don't. But this is a form of saying, no, you don't worship angels. Angels are not God. As a matter of fact, Harrington says that angels and humans have the same status. Obviously, we are not the same type of being, but they have the same status. And then, of course, what comes is the white horse. And this horse is called Faithful and True, and he judges and wages war in righteousness. Now, Harrington says that this is the word of God. Well, that would make that Jesus, the rider on the horse. But he doesn't say that, but this is the word of God. Well, Jesus is the word of God. And Jesus is the judge and the one who makes the final decision of who makes it to heaven and who doesn't. And so he is seeking righteousness. And then it continues with we start to see these armies. Now, what's going to happen here is we see the armies, because we're eventually getting into Armageddon, but now the final cleanup is happening. Remember, we say that Jesus died on the cross, but there's still the cleanup that is going on. And now we're starting to see this cleanup happen. Now an army is coming together, and it is bringing down and it is destroying those forces. Now, if we were connected to today, what would those forces be? Again, we're not going, well, the force is obviously this country that's such and such and this person who is so and so. No, but what are the forces? The forces are dynamics. Remember what Paul says, we are fighting against principalities and powers, the rulers of this world of darkness, the evil spirits and regions above. We're not fighting people. I can't read this and say, oh, that is this person, oh, that is that person. But there are always those dynamics that are seeking to oppress people, especially people of faith, because people of faith stand in the way of them getting what they want. Cardinal Robert Sara came out with his book, The Day Is Now Far Spent, and in chapters 8 and 9, he outlines this. He says, what is going on in the world is a remaking or a re I don't forget the word he uses, but basically happening again, I'll put it that way, the temptation that the devil made to Eve, that you will be like gods. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to recreate the human being. So you have these people who are these experts, so to speak, who are trying to recreate the human being, who are trying to do literally redesigning the human being through CRISPR technology, who you can have designer children. There's the famous line that if they come up with a system to raise the IQ of your children and you don't get the IQ, that you don't participate in this technology, then your children will be the stupidest children in the neighborhood. Well, let's look at it that way. What if we'll say that technology exists today. What if you've discovered that you can't afford this process? You can't participate because you can't afford this process. Then your children may be labeled the stupidest children in the neighborhood, but they will also be the troglodytes of the society. They're the ones that are going to do all the manual tasks because the movers and the shakers will be the one to be served. It happens over and over again, this time through technology. This whole division of society where you have the people who will get what they want for their own reason, and you have the people who will be used so that they can get what they want for to serve them. So this is what's going on, and this is actually happening, not so much that technology has arrived, but we're moving towards that technology, and this is what's happening with what Cardinal Robert Sarah said. We're trying to build, people are trying to build a society based on the temptation of the devil in Book of Genesis. They're trying to become like gods. And this is what force will be destroyed as God moves in. The humans can't do it. So if I'm listening to someone right now, if someone is listening to me right now, who is thinking, well, what can we do to fight this? You become faithful to God. There's nothing you can do to fight this. You become faithful to God. You know, if you've found a group of revolutionaries who are going to work underground to try to stand up and destroy any kind of people who are involved in this kind of thing, you're walking down the wrong path. You become faithful to God. Because remember this, what we're seeing here is all of those ideas are coming out of, as Cardinal Robert Sarah indicates, out of the demonic. You can't fight the demonic. Only God fights evil. You cannot. So you be faithful to God. That's how you deal with it. And then we go, we see this whole thing happen. Now, one of the interesting, this is kind of graphic, is this angel is standing on the sun. Well, probably not literally, but maybe this angel is up in the sky and he is right above the sun. And remember, at this time, the concept of this fireball that's suspended in space, as we are suspended in space going around it, did not exist. No one understood. They did have an understanding of the solar system and all the other stuff, but they didn't have an understanding of what the sun was. Remember, they believed at this time that the gods brought the sun up over the dome that was the earth. So we had a lot of that concept. Then we see the angels. So we see this angel standing on the sun. And now we see this rather painful image. And it was that they're calling people to come together for God's great feast, to eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of military officers. And we see that, the flesh all the way down the line of all the forces and the enforcers of this mentality. Why would God want to celebrate eating their flesh? Which, by the way, we see later on, their flesh is eaten by the birds, not by people. Why? Because that is reminiscent of the human sacrifice But we know that when the Jews went down the wrong path, we see that they would engage in human sacrifice because all the cultures around them did. So that could be referring to that, that this practice, that everything it stands for, even though Rome put an end to it, but everything it stands for and all the history of that, this is what's going to happen to the forces that led people astray. And what we see again later is the birds are eating the flesh. Now, there's an interesting story out of the Book of Kings, and it's the story of Elijah. And the most evil woman, and I think I mentioned this earlier, yes, I did, when we talked about Jezebel in the letters. The most evil woman in the Old Testament is a woman by the name of Jezebel. She's the queen. She was Phoenician, and she was married to King Ahab, and she was absolutely evil. To this day, she is considered the most evil person in the Old Testament. Well, Elijah curses both Ahab and Jezebel for their evil, and he says to both of them, the dogs will lick up your blood. In the case of Ahab, when he died, that's exactly what happened. The dogs licked up his blood, but Jezebel was different. As I had mentioned earlier, what happened was Jezebel was the queen, and finally she was overcome and she was thrown out a window where she died. And everyone celebrated that she was dead for about a half an hour and then went to go get her body because she was a queen. As they said, she was a queen, so she still deserves a royal burial. She was a queen. They did go to retrieve her body, and it was gone. And no one stole it. It was the dogs ate her flesh. So we're seeing that connection too. We're seeing that this is the curse that happens, that this human sacrifice that was enacted on that the Jews practiced when they went astray will also now become a practice that will bring an end to those who perpetuated it in evil. And that's what we see. So that's my own interpretation, by the way. And then what we see is the beast and the false prophet are gathered together, and they are cast down to the fiery pool. They are destroyed. They are led to total destruction. Their whole concept, their whole work of leading people astray has come to an end, and so they are thrown into the fiery pool. And then, of course, the rest were killed by the sword, and the riding horse, who we understand is Jesus, has now enacted his victory. There's still some more going on. We'll see it as it comes upon us. We're going next to chapters 20, 21, and 22 next week, and we'll see what are the final stages of the book of Revelation. Have you visited CatholicAudioMedia.com? There you can find material to help strengthen your faith and even support this podcast. Web videos on how to read the Bible, music from Father Adriano Zandana, links to column websites, the Pauline bookstore, and even merchandise such as coffee mugs to bring a smile and encouragement during this time. CatholicAudioMedia.com. CatholicAudioMedia.com. CatholicAudioMedia.com.